This is HeartWise, offering practical tips and time-proven guidelines to make your life healthier, happier, and more fulfilling. Today you'll learn simple Bible-based principles for building and maintaining optimum mental and physical health, all while deepening your relationship with your Creator. I'm your HeartWise host, Charles Mills. I like what the Children's Diagnostic Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee says about our guest today, and I quote, "Dr. Rachel Nelson's passion is helping children reach their full potential." I can't think of a better description for a pediatrician, can you? Dr. Nelson joined that organization in 2014, just a few years after earning her medical degree at Loma Linda University in Southern California. I've invited her on our program today to present five powerful health tips for parents and their young ones to follow to help them reach that potential. Dr. Rachel Nelson, welcome to HeartWise.
Thank you. It's really good to be here.
You know, I got to say, I look around at my community here in West Virginia, and it seems that our kids aren't doing so well. They're fighting diseases that just a generation ago were considered adult problems. Dr. Nelson, what's going on?
Lots of things can explain that. One of the biggest is that children are eating like adults, and so they're getting the adult diseases. I've had kids come to my office as young as 6-8 months with Coke in their bottle.
With a soft drink in their drinking bottle?
Yes.
Now, Dr. Nelson, for those who may not understand this, and I need to know more about this as well, when a child drinks a bottle of Coca-Cola, what's going on inside because of that drink?
Well, first of all, Coca-Cola is loaded with sugar, unless, of course, you're doing a Diet Coke. And sugar spikes your child's blood sugar, and then your body has to release a lot of insulin to bring that blood sugar down. The sugar is stored as fat. It also has caffeine. Caffeine is very damaging on the developing brain and can cause agitation, jitteriness, all sorts of problems on the child's developing brain.
Well, I hope that whoever put that Coke in that bottle is hearing this program. I'm sure that they heard it from you as well. It seems to me that there is not a maliciousness in this world. There's ignorance in this world. Would I be right in saying that?
Yes, because just as dangerous as Coke, frankly, is eating at McDonald's. McDonald's cheeseburgers are really shouldn't even be called real food. You can actually save a McDonald's cheeseburger for over a year, and it doesn't lose its consistency, doesn't lose its taste, it doesn't lose its form, basically remains unchanged, and that's without refrigeration. And I'm not even talking about all the fat, the cholesterol that's added to that. What's interesting is we've done autopsies on children who've died in motor vehicle accidents and looked at their coronary arteries. And children as young as 5 years old already have significant coronary artery disease that we would normally see in an adult. And this is, again, from parents not realizing that cheeseburgers, fries, some of the other things kids really like to eat are loaded with fat and cholesterol that's getting deposited on their kids' arteries.
My. 5 years old, already arterial problems. Dr. Nelson, I want to talk to you about these five tips. I think you've just given us the first one about diet. Expand on that. Apparently, tip number one is watch your diet. What else are we doing wrong?
Kids in general are picky, and parents do struggle with that, especially age 2 to 3. Kids start exerting their right to choose, and they taste buds start proliferating, and things they used to love, they now hate, and things they hated, they now will eat.
Yes.
And it can be very challenging for parents. However, it is very important that as the parent, we steer our children toward foods as grown, fresh fruits and vegetables, whole grains, avoiding juice, water rather than juices, and limiting making as only special treats the fast food rather than having that as the primary part of the diet. That will go a long way to optimizing your child's dietary health.
Now, you said avoiding juices. Are we talking about fruit juices here? Avoid them as well?
Fruit juices are actually not that much better than Coca-Cola. The only thing they lack is the caffeine. But they're empty calories, full of basically sugar bombs that will escalate your child's blood sugar and cause insulin release and are packed, and then they're converted straight into fat.
What has changed, Dr. Nelson? What has changed since you were a kid? What is different about the food? Because, you know, when we were young, we look around, there weren't that many overweight children running around with us.
Just take something simple as portion sizes. Uh-huh. Portion sizes have changed dramatically over the last 30 to 40 years. Dinner plates will have almost doubled in size over the last 50 years. Uh-huh. Juice containers and Coke bottles are another example. Those have almost doubled in size. So children are getting larger portions of any type of food that's more than they used to get 40 years ago.
Right.
In addition, the availability of fast food restaurants. There is a McDonald's every, five miles
or maybe less? Yes.
The ability for that. And the price of fast food, it targets low-income families, so it's at an affordable price. In addition, more parents are working, and when you have both parents out of the home working, it's very difficult to have family meals and home-cooked meals. Parents get home, both of them are exhausted. The last thing anybody wants to do is cook a home-cooked meal, and it's much easier to go out to a fast food restaurant and grab a bite to eat. In addition, there's not as many places that are safe for kids to play, and recess has often been eliminated from a school curriculum. So there's a whole host of factors contributing to the poor health of our children and the obesity epidemic. I wouldn't say one particular one outweighs the other, but I do believe that all of them come together to make we really are facing an obesity health crisis in our nation, and especially among our young people and our children.
We're talking with Dr. Rachel Nelson, pediatrician. She practices down in the Chattanooga area. I think I heard tip number two buried in that last statement you made there, lack of exercise. The fact that our kids aren't moving around and jumping around as much as they could be. It's a dangerous world out there, Dr. Nelson. How are we supposed to exercise our kids when we don't want to let them out of our sight?
That's a great question, and actually that is a big problem. A lot of the low economic neighborhoods don't have safe parks for kids to play in. However, exercise is vital for children. Children need at minimum an hour to 2 hours of activity every single day,
wow.
7 days a week.
Wow.
One thing that parents can do is try to find an after-school program for their children that does incorporate exercise. There are some initiatives in various cities to provide after-school sports programs for children, especially targeting low-income families, low-income areas. So getting your child involved in sports, turning off the TV for an hour every day and giving the kids a list of exercises to do. Household chores are actually exercise. Mm-hmm. Vacuuming, sweeping, dusting, all of those are activity and go toward that hour of activity that children really need to have. Finding a school that incorporates a good PE program. Getting your kids a watch that counts their steps and coming up with prizes for how many steps they've taken. There's 100 ways to build activity into the day. Sometimes you have to be creative, but it's vital for children's health to have activity built into the day.
I like what you said there, build it into the day. A lot of people say, well, Dr. Nelson, I don't have time to exercise or go exercise with my kids. And I hear you saying, well, how much time do you spend on the internet? How much time do you spend on your devices? There may be some time we can use there, am I right?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the American Academy of Pediatrics actually recommends that we limit screen time, and that includes all screen time, TV, tablet, phone, to under 2 hours per day for children above two. And for children under two, they should have zero screen time. Baby Einstein videos are not actually productive of intelligence in babies. They've been well documented to actually have the opposite effect. The American Academy of Pediatrics actually recommends no screen time at all if your child is under two.
Well, we're getting some wonderful health tips here from pediatrician Dr. Rachel Nelson. The first one, watch your diet, eat foods as grown, and limit yourself from those fast foods and fruit juices. Fruit juices, she says, are just as bad as drinking a Coke. Wow. And also exercise, 1 to 2 hours per day, 7 days a week. And kids would love that, I'm going to have to say. Am I right?
Oh, yes. Getting them even playing a part. Kids don't have to have a structured, all right, we're going to run a mile, but just even sending your kids to a park. Kids will naturally play and exercise if given the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll take a short break. And when we come back, we have 3 tips left here from pediatrician Dr. Rachel Nelson. So everybody stay right where you are.
Hey, Sam, where are you going?
Oh, hi, Rico. I'm heading for the grocery store. Mom forgot to buy carrots for our carrot stew tonight. Can't have carrot stew without carrots. That'd be just hot water. She said that we were going to drive back to the store, but I told her I'd take care of it.
On your bicycle? That's kind of a long way.
It's good exercise, and besides, there's enough poison in the air already.
Poison? What do you mean?
See all those cars and trucks? Well, each one has an engine, and each engine is burning gasoline, and the exhaust puts pollution in the air. Then we breathe it. Too much pollution can poison us. So I figure if I ride my bike to the store, a vehicle, which, by the way, creates absolutely no pollution, I'm helping the air stay cleaner.
I'm impressed.
Not only that, I told my mom and dad that we needed to figure out how to drive our car less. You know, like going to town and doing a bunch of things. Not just one. I figure that if everyone did that, we'd have a lot less dirty air and a lot more clean air to breathe. By the way, where are you heading?
I'm going to the park. Mom gave me money for a taxi.
You mean one of those stinking, gas-burning, air-polluting taxis?
Okay, I see what you mean. Mind if I ride with you?
No problem. I can even take you to my house for supper. Do you like carrot stew?
Love it.
And then we can use your taxi money to buy mangoes.
I'd better call my mom and ask if it would be all right.
Tell her you're riding in the city's only non-polluting taxi and that the driver is a really nice guy.
Just drive.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to KidsBibleInfo.com. That's KidsBibleInfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Our guest today, Dr. Rachel Nelson. She works at the Children's Diagnostic Center in Chattanooga, Tennessee, where they said that she has a passion for children reaching their full potential. And so far in this program, she has demonstrated that beautifully. Dr. Nelson, we talked about diet and exercise. You hinted at the third tip in that last segment there. You said no screen time. Unpack that a little bit for us. Why is it so important that children limit their screen time or have it limited for them on whatever device they happen to be having?
Screen time in general is well documented to not actually aid learning. If anything, many times programs are done in such a way that they inhibit the brain from remembering the facts that are trying to be taught. The screen time has been linked to decreased activity. There is a association, not necessarily causation, but an association with the more screen time children have in their life, the higher their body mass index and the more likely they are to be overweight. In addition, a lot of times children are seeing violent acts on television, and these violent acts can be repeated. Children don't have the ability to filter whether something is good or not good, especially when it's coming through a television media. So limiting screen time as much as possible is very important. Making sure a child does not have a TV in their room so that they're not watching it unsupervised. Keeping a computer in a living room so parents can monitor children's access. Children as young as 4 and 5 are getting exposed to pornography that they are discovering themselves on parent devices. So just being aware of what your children are doing on device and being aware of how long they're on their device is a good step toward limiting screen time and promoting activities that actually enhance brain growth and development.
My, making the connection there between screen time and overall health down the road. That is incredible. Dr. Rachel Nelson, pediatrician, with us today. Tip number 4, what should we be doing and what maybe are we not doing?
Sleep. Sleep is actually extremely important for the developing child. Children over the age of 2 sometimes need up to 12 hours at night. Wow. Obviously, that decreases as a child ages. Teenagers actually need a lot of sleep, and they're sometimes the kids that get the least sleep, especially in high school. There's been some interesting studies with delayed high school start times showing that even getting 1 to 2 hours of extra sleep each night by delaying the school start time to 8 or 9 rather than 7 actually improved dramatically academic performance for teenagers that were in the study population compared to controls that did not have the delayed start time.
I can guarantee you right now there's a bunch of school teachers going, I'm on board with that for sure.
Yes, there is definitely importance for making sure your teenage child gets enough rest. Interestingly, that rest can be made up on the weekend. If your child does have an early start time in school, at least making sure on the weekend they are getting plenty of catch-up time rather than partying all night with their friends. If they can spend the weekend getting catch-up sleep, that actually has been shown to enhance academic performance.
I have heard teenagers at high school bragging about how little sleep they're getting, and that's not a good thing, right?
Not a good thing at all. Mm-hmm. Definitely been linked to obesity, been linked to depression, and, of course, poor academic performance.
Now, tip number 5, I happen to know what this is because you and I went over them before and you said that they need to have regular wellness checks with the pediatrician. Now, what do you know that a parent doesn't know? A parent lives with this child 24/7 and you just see them every once a year. What do you know that they don't know?
So first of all, I do want to say parents do know children better than we do. There's absolutely no question because you do live with your child 24/7. You are going to pick up things. However, sometimes living with your child 24/7, you miss things that are concerning because it's normal. You see it all the time.
Yes.
So well child checks are actually important. We do developmental screens at each and every visit. We do weight checks. We do height checks. We plot your child on a growth curve. We make sure your child's immunizations are up to date so that they're protected against common childhood illnesses. And we check urine. We check white blood cell count, make sure there's no infection. And it's very important to do these because many times we can pick up something that your child has, and if it's picked up early before they're symptomatic, it can easily be fixed. If it's missed, then sometimes it can be harder to fix or maybe even life-threatening. So well child checks are actually very important to do on a regular basis.
Dr. Nelson, being a pediatrician, I'm sure you have opportunity to talk to groups of people. Let me ask you this. If you were to present these 5 health tips to an assembly at a high school or an assembly at a middle school or grade school compared to assembly at PTA, where there would be parents there and teachers, which group would produce the best results in following these tips?
You know, honestly, I've been very impressed with how well children can follow through, especially if given parent support. Kids, especially teenagers, are making very important decisions that impact the rest of their lives. And sometimes we undervalue the self-efficacy that's being developed in that adolescent transition from childhood to adulthood. I've really enjoyed getting to give talks to teenagers, and I have found them extremely receptive. On the other hand, I've also found that parents are highly motivated to make changes that can impact positively their children's health. Often, parents' overall health improves along with their children as they make dramatic changes to help them. I have many parents who quit smoking after having children because they realize it negatively impacts their child. They weren't willing to quit smoking before for themselves, but they're willing to quit smoking for their children. So honestly, I have found both groups to be very receptive. The teenagers are pretty receptive if presented in the right way at taking charge of their own health, and parents are usually very motivated to help their children.
Wow, it sounds like the best combination is, like you said just a moment ago, where you tell the kids, but then that is supported by the parents. And how do you make that happen? How do you teach a parent to support that in their child?
Well, again, going back to the well child check, that's our pediatrician goal. Parents usually accompany their child to the well child check, and I talk to both of them, and I know my colleagues do the same. We want the child to understand what we're telling the parent, and we want the parent to be there to support the child and help them if there's changes that need to be made.
And of course, as a Christian, you understand that what you just said works in the spiritual realm as well. When a child learns good things from people and is supported by the parents, learn things, good things about health and about God, and is supported by the parent, that doubles the chance that that child is going to benefit from those words. Am I right?
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Couldn't have been said better.
All right, Dr. Nelson, I want to just put you on the spot here and say you're talking to parents and kids right now. What is the first thing they should do? Starting right now, the program is over, they turn it off and they go, oh, that was nice. What is the number one thing they should start doing from this moment on that will bring good benefits to their health and well-being?
Look at your life currently. Look at your daily schedule. Look at things that you're doing regularly that are habits, and see if there's one thing that you could change that would better your life. It can be as simple as, I'm going to park in the farthest parking lot from the store so I can walk a few extra steps and get a little bit more exercise.
It may
be as simple as, you know, I've been drinking a lot of juice. I'm going to cut back by one glass of juice every day. What you want to do is make a simple change that you can keep the rest of your life.
Okay, I hear another voice in the background. I think your boy is up from his nap. Is that what I hear back there?
Yes.
All right. Well, a pediatrician with a kid. Now, what do you think she's learning there? Absolutely wonderful things. Dr. Rachel Nelson, our time is up. Your child is up. He's 5 years old. He says he wants his mama. Thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate that. Dr. Rachel Nelson, pediatrician, Chattanooga area. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And listener, until next time, this is Charles Mills along with Dr. Rachel Nelson and her son, inviting you to remain heartwise. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for joining us today on Heartwise. If you'd like more information on how to build and maintain optimum physical, mental, and spiritual health, log on to heartwiseministries.org. Heartwise is a listener-supported program, and your partnership with us would be greatly appreciated. Once again, our web address is heartwiseministries.org.